11. Just chapter 11. Did we get it or no? It's not working. Just close it down and start it up again. It's not a problem. So if you have your Bibles or it's on your phone, listen, go to Hebrews chapter 11. You can Google search it. If you don't know, Bible Gateway is a great way to do that. And I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Could you stand? Thank you. Can you crack that for me? Thank you. Here's what it says. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, that's who we're going to talk about today. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Let's just pray, and I'm going to explain all that. God, we just take a minute and call upon you. We need you to speak to our hearts today through your word. God, I pray that my words would not fall on dead ears, but it would be planted in people's hearts and would bring forth fruit to honor and glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So if you're not aware, just let me give you just a quick, the last 2.5 years of my life have been very challenging. And if you've heard the story, I know some of you have already. I'm not going to go into detail. But I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer 2.5 years ago. And just health concerns and surgeries. And I don't know if you've ever been in surgery. I've never had surgery before up to that. But I've had 2 surgeries. But before my second surgery, which was lung surgery, the doctor ordered a stress test. After I'd already been through 1 surgery, which is kind of funny. And I was trying to tell the doctor, he's like, "Listen, you have to take a stress test for lung surgery." And I said, "I was already in surgery for 8.5 hours. I think I'm okay." But he still ordered a stress test. Anybody here ever taken a stress test? Okay. You know what they do? Here's what they do. They put all these things all over your chest, all over your body here. And then they put you on a treadmill. And guess what? They crank it up. And first you're just walking and you're good. You're sweating a little. You're good. And then they're like, "All right, we're going to turn it up." I'm like, "I got this. Let's go." And then they put it on an incline. And you're just going and going and going. What they're doing, listen, what they're doing is they're testing your heart to see if it can handle the stress of surgery. The portion of scripture that we're going to go over today is Abraham's stress test. It is a test of his heart to see where his heart lines up with God. And for some of you this morning, this is going to be a stress test for your heart. For some of you, you're already in a test and you don't even realize it. And so Abraham is going to go through this test, this stress test. It says this: by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Isaac is his son. So the story takes place in Genesis 22. That's where we're going to be this morning. So if you want to go there in your Bible or on your phone, Genesis chapter 22. I don't know if we got it. Did we get it up or no? No? You could just leave that up. That's fine. Genesis 22. Let me get you caught up on the story. So a couple weeks ago, we started with Abraham. In Genesis 12, we meet him. He's living with all of his family. He's living with his father and his uncles and his brothers and all this kind of stuff. And God tells Abraham to get up and move away. I want you to get up, pack up everything you own, and I want you to move. And get this, Abraham does it. Which is, you know, it would be very difficult for us to do today, but it's completely different 4,000 years ago. There were no highways. There was no Google Maps. Come on, somebody. There was no GPS. And here's the amazing thing. God tells him to get up and go, but he never tells him where to go. He just says, "Head in this direction. I'll tell you while you're going." And Abraham packs up everything he has and begins to follow God. That in itself is pretty incredible to me. And so because of his obedience, God says to him, "Listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, and because you've obeyed me, I'm going to make you into a great nation." And Abraham's like, "Awesome. There's only one problem. I don't have any children." And Abraham is 75 years old at the time. His wife is 65 years old. And God tells him, listen, you're going to have children. And I'm going to make you into a great nation. And God's like, Abraham's like, that's awesome. But I don't have any kids. And so you would think that God would hurry up and have make them have children. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to go into details on that one, do I? But he doesn't. God waits 25 years in order to have them conceive and have children. Now, if you do the math real quick, Abraham ends up being 100 and Sarah is 90. That's how we know it's a miracle. God waited 25 years in order to do that. And so have you found Genesis 22? So that's kind of where we're picking up. They have this son named Isaac, the son of promise. And the Bible doesn't tell us how long it's been since they've had Isaac, but Isaac is not a baby. A lot of people in this story depict Isaac as a young child or a baby. That is not the case, and I'll tell you why later. But we don't know how one theologian I studied said Isaac could have been 15, 20, even maybe 25 years old at this point. This is years later in their life. Genesis 22, verse 1, it says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Now, I don't recommend this, taking your son, your only son, and sacrificing him on some type of burnt offering. Can I get an amen on that? Aren't you glad we don't do child sacrifices? And neither does God, okay? But there's two problems with this story, and I wanted to give you these things up front so that you can, as you're reading this and studying this, you'll see. There's two real major issues with this story. One is this. Many people have a problem with this exchange because in their minds, God's character is brought into question. How could God tell Abraham to sacrifice his son? God is against human sacrifice. Absolutely, he is. But the question really isn't God's character. The question really should be, how could we, finite and created beings, question the method of which God wants to get someone's attention? Because that's really what's at stake here. You're going to see in the story, and I'll give you the ending before it even starts. Abraham does not sacrifice his son, but he does put him up on the altar. And he does obey God. And right before he is about to take his life, God calls to him and stops him. Because God wanted to see if Abraham would put his son of promise even above God. And so the question is, should we question God? His character? Because we're finite and created human beings. So that's one problem. Because it says this in James 1:13. That when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So God's not the one who's tempted. This is not a temptation. This is a test. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference? Where does the temptation come from? Comes from Satan. Comes from our enemy. Where does a test come from? Comes from God. They are very different. This is not a temptation. This is a test. Some of you, please get this. Some of you are struggling in life with a temptation. There's sin in your life. You're giving into something you shouldn't do. And you're like, God, you know, why is God testing me? God's not testing you. It is a temptation from the enemy. He wants to trip you up. And some of you today are in a test that God is testing you, just like God tested Abraham. And so the second problem with all this is this. Listen, we know the ending. We know the ending. Do you not know the ending to the story? I already told you the ending to the story. The story ends with God calling out to Abraham, Abraham, don't kill your son. Now I understand that you love me more than you love anything else. And so that's the end of the story. And so when we read this story, and we're going to read it in just a minute, we read it with this idea of, well, I kind of know the end. I kind of know the end, so he doesn't do it. So really, it wasn't temptation, or it wasn't a test. It is a test. Because here's the point, and please don't miss this. Abraham didn't know God was going to stop him. We know because we read the story. But in that moment that Abraham is going about to take the knife to sacrifice his son to obey God, Abraham doesn't know that. And so keep that in mind as we read this story, as we go through this story of what is happening with Abraham. And this is what I've been praying for you and for me this week. This is a defining moment in Abraham's life. And for some of you this morning, as hot as it is in here, come on somebody, anybody sweating besides me? Maybe it's just the lights. Man, it is dripping off me. But listen, I know this. This might be a defining moment for you in your life. There might be something that you're facing, something that you're going through, a test, a trial, a difficult situation, and God wants to get your attention. Because you have a choice. You have a relational issue or a health challenge or a family crisis or a financial difficulty or an employment opportunity or something in your life, and you have to decide. It's a defining moment. This needs to be a defining moment. This message is a defining moment for us. Look back to the story. Genesis 22, verse 1. God said to Abraham, and Abraham said, "Here I am." And then God said, "Take your son, your only son." Thank you. Thank you. You trying to tell me something, Mignon? Am I glistening? Am I glistening or is it just me? Yes. You know, some say you're really not a preacher until you start sweating. So I don't know if I should say, ha, but I'm definitely sweating. He says, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him as a burnt offering there." That's what he tells him. So what is God telling Abraham? God is telling Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love. That is such an important part of the story. God could have very easily said, hey, grab Isaac and just go over here and do what I tell you to do. But he doesn't. God's wording is really significant in this passage. What he's telling him matters. Take your son, your only son. Now, was that Abraham's only son? If you don't know the answer, just shake your head. No, it wasn't. We learned this a couple weeks ago. Abraham and Sarah waited for years and could not get pregnant. And so Sarah had this idea, and she said, you know what, Abraham, I want you to go and sleep with my servant, my beautiful Egyptian servant. And Abraham was like, okay, if you say so, because he's a guy. Because he's a guy. And Hagar gets pregnant, and there's all this conflict. And we learned a couple of weeks ago that we should never try to help God. We should never try to help God. And that's what Abraham did. So when God says, take your son, your only son, this is not his only son. But this is, and this is what you need to understand, this is the son of promise. This is the one that God is going to build the nation through, Isaac. And so he tells him to take his son, his only son. This next phrase is huge. He says this, whom you love. Whom you love. That is the first time in the Bible the word love is used. Which is incredible. Because God chose this story to introduce love to us. Now, I'm going to just talk for a minute, and some of you are going to tune me out, and that's okay. Listen, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. When something is mentioned for the first time in the Bible and it's significant, like the word love, you should look at it and study it, because what God did, there's this law of first in the Bible. The first time something is mentioned, it defines how it is portrayed the rest of the Bible. And so God chooses this story between the love of a father and a son. Sound familiar? Between a father sacrificing his son. Sound familiar? God chooses that story to introduce love to us. That's pretty incredible. That's not an accident. That's on purpose. 2 weeks, or not 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we talked about this guy named Enoch. And Enoch, the Bible says, it's very short. It says, Enoch walked with God and was no more. Which means he had such a relationship with God that God took him to heaven. He never died. Which is amazing. But that's the first time the phrase walk with God is introduced in the Bible. And that helps us understand walking and having a relationship with God. This is the first time love is mentioned in the Bible. And it's really, truly significant. And then it says this, verse 3. Early in the morning. So imagine God telling you something on Sunday and Monday you doing it. There's a novel idea, right? God instructed him to tell him, and it says, the very next day, Abraham got up. I don't know how he slept, right? I don't know about you, but if God told me to sacrifice one of my sons, I probably wouldn't get a whole lot of sleep that night. But he gets up the very next day, and he does what God instructs him to do. He didn't argue with God. God, how could you ask me to do that? Because that would have been disobedience. He didn't try to talk God out of it. Hey, God, you know, if we do this instead, why don't we just do this instead and this will work out okay? Because that's disobedience as well. He didn't try to alter God's plans. Hey, you know, if we do it this way, then things will be much better. You know, let's not exactly do this, but I kind of want to do this over here, God. That would have been disobedience. What he did, church, was the next day he got up and he obeyed. He did exactly what God wanted him to do the next morning. Can I encourage someone this morning? I don't know what kind of week you had. I had a crazy week with VBS. I was here every night. I was here every day, just working and getting ready. It was an awesome, awesome time. We will try to put some pictures together next week and put them up on the screen. It was an awesome week. Thank you to all the volunteers. So I don't know what kind of week you had. But if you had a bad week, can I just give you some just advice? Get up tomorrow and just obey God. Like, Pastor, what should I do? Just get up tomorrow and say a little prayer and say, God, today I want to do everything that you need me to do. That I surrender everything that I am to you. How I treat my wife, how I treat my husband, how I treat the kids, how I drive. Maybe not that part. How I interact with people at the store, how I treat my boss, how I you know, coexist with my coworkers, all of that stuff. Just get up and obey God. That's exactly what Abraham did. And I don't know where you're at in your journey with God, in your walk with God, but I would encourage you, that is a great place to start. To just get up tomorrow and say, you know what, tomorrow is a new day. God, today, I just want to live in obedience. That's all I want to do, live in obedience. So early the next morning, verse 3, Abraham got up. He loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. One thing I notice in this story, and there's little side things here and there, but one thing I notice is that Abraham did not miss one thing. It says he loaded up the wood. He put it on the donkey. He took care of everything. He didn't cut corners. He didn't say, well, God said this, but I think I'm going to do it this way because I think I know a little more than God. No, he did exactly what God wanted him to do. And he did it, get this, to the best of his ability. You know, God deserves your best. No, listen. God gave his best. He deserves your best. He just does. Listen, that's good preaching whether you like it or not. Amen, Pastor. Thank you. I'm going to encourage myself. That's just good preaching. God deserves our very best. He just does. Verse 4 and 5. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham says to his servants who's along for the journey, probably helping him with the donkeys and the wood and the food and all that, I need you guys to stay here. Me and the boy are going to go on, and then we're going to come back. What kind of statement is that? It's a statement of faith. That's a statement of faith. Now, why did they have to go alone? The Bible doesn't say. Maybe he didn't want distractions. Maybe he didn't want anyone to stop him. I put this in your notes. If you want to follow along, it's in your bulletin. I put some notes. I had them up on the screen, but whatever, it's not working right now. But listen. Here's what's important. Oh, come on. Let's go. Here it is. Here's the point. Good job, Brianna. The walk of faith many times is a walk of solitude. Listen, thank you. He goes off by himself. And let me just tell you, listen, if you're going to live for God, there's going to be some solitude in your life. There's going to be some times when all your friends and everybody else is going that way, and God says, go that way. And listen, it's a walk of solitude. Now, here's the good news. We haven't got to this in Hebrews yet because we're studying Hebrews. But in Hebrews 13, we're in Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 13, it says this: God will never leave you or forsake you. So even though it's a walk of solitude, you're not alone. God is with you. But I want to encourage somebody today. I want to tell you, listen, sometimes the walk of faith is a walk of solitude. And I look back at my life, there were some times where there were some lonely times where it was just me trying to do the right thing, trying to live right, trying to obey God because it was the right thing to do. And so if you're there today, know that we've been there as well. And Abraham says to the people that he's with, listen, I don't need you to come with me. This is something for me and my son. Walk of solitude. Secondly, it says this, if you could put it up. It says, we will worship. We will worship, and then we're going to come back. We're going to worship. Two huge statements. Two huge statements. What is Abraham thinking? Two things, really important. I'm going to start with the second one first. He says, we're going to come back. God told him to sacrifice his son. And he makes this statement to his servants that are with him. We're coming back. Why does he make a statement like that? Is that just crazy, crazy thinking? Not at all. Hebrews 11, what we read this morning when we started, you can put it up. Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham reasoned in his mind. Listen, listen. Even though God said to him, it's through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned, even though God is asking him to sacrifice him, Abraham reasoned. It's an amazing word in the Greek. It actually means to intellectually determine. So with his heart and with his mind, he determined, you know what? I know what God said, and I'm going to be obedient, but just so you know, we're coming back. He reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Now, this is 2,000 years before Jesus is ever resurrected. There's no resurrections in Abraham's time. They don't even know what that is. When people died, they didn't embalm them. They just put them in a cave and walked away. But Abraham said, you know what? This son, Isaac, is a son of promise. And so you know what? God can raise him up. Even if I have to take his life and be obedient, God can raise him up. That's an amazing part of this passage. But then it says this. It says this, if you could go back. It says, we will worship. Now, I said earlier that love is mentioned for the first time in the Bible in this passage of Scripture. Guess what other word is mentioned for the first time in the Bible? Yeah, you guys are smart. Worship. This is the first time in God's word that we see the word worship. Worship. This is significant because Abraham's worship is a sacrifice. It's in your notes. Abraham's worship is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. One writer put it like this: worship is an endeavor to bring God that which cost you something. I'm going to read it again because it's good. Worship is an endeavor to bring God something that costs you. Worship is not just what we did on Sunday morning with our worship team. Worship is a costly sacrifice. It could be your time. It could be your energy. It could be your resources. It's a sacrifice. That's what worship is. Worship is not coming 10 after 10 during the third song of the message and just getting a couple words in. Oh, it got real quiet now, right? I said this a couple weeks ago. Worship is coming early and sitting in the pew and preparing your heart. And one thing I love we do at this church is if you do come early, and if you don't, just pretend like you do, our worship team gathers up here right before worship. And they pray together. They prepare their hearts. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for them. They practice. They come early. They practice. They're here before some of you are even up in the morning. And they're here on the stage. You know what that is? That's worship. That's sacrifice. That's what God wants from us. Worship for Abraham was giving God his very best. And his very best was Isaac, which was most important to him, a son of promise. And God knew that. This reminds me of a story, and I don't want to get into too much, and I don't like going on bunny trails, But I love this story. And every time I was preparing this week and praying about this message, I kept coming back to this passage. And I love this passage. There's a story in 2 Samuel 24. It's at the end of the book. David has done some things. He's king of Israel. And it's near the, I don't know if it's near the middle or end of his reign, but he counts his men when God tells him not to, and he kind of gets arrogant, and God says, listen, because you've disobeyed me, I'm going to send a plague. And so God sends this plague, and all these people in their nation start dying. And David decides that he is going to build an altar and make a sacrifice to stop the plague from spreading. And he finds a place. The only problem is that the place where he wants to build the altar, he doesn't own it. Someone else owns it. And the guy who owns it is on the property. And so David goes to him and he says, listen, I want to make a sacrifice here. Can I buy this piece of property off you? And the guy is so cool. He says, listen, the king comes. He's like, listen, you can have it, which is what I would do. Wouldn't you want to get in good graces with the king? He's like, you know what? You can have it. And David says this, if you can put up the scripture. David says this. Next one. I'm sorry. I did all that. Next one. He says this. I will not sacrifice the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Oh, man, that is so good. I will not make a sacrifice to God because you've given me the land. And the Bible says he goes on to purchase the land from the guy. Because David understood that worship costs you something. Worship is about sacrificing to God. And Isaac says, Abraham says this, we're coming back. But first, we're going to go up and worship. And Abraham knew that it was going to cost him something. He had every intention of going up there. And I know this is hard to understand, but this is thousands of years ago, and we don't do this today. But Abraham had every intention of going up there and sacrificing his son. Because this is what God told me to do, and I'm going to do what God told me to do. Can't go into details, but in the last couple of months of my life, there's something that God told me to do that I had to do. And it was really hard. It was a step of faith. But I knew I had to do it. And there was a sacrifice. There was something costly attached to it. But I needed to do it because God said, this is what I need you to do. And I did it. And it was hard. And you know what the result was? Now I look back, I'm like, I should have done that a long time ago. Listen, worship is a costly sacrifice. I have prayed this. There's been times in my life, and this is why I love this passage of scripture. I have prayed this in my own life. God, I want my worship to cost me something. What do you need from me? Is it to write a check? Is it to more time? Is it more time in your word? Do I need to spend some more time on my knees? God, what do you need me to do? Do I need to go and encourage my neighbor? What do you need me to do, God? And listen, if you're like, I just don't know what to do sometimes, you come the month of August, I guarantee you, we will give you stuff to do. We call it love like crazy. It's a great opportunity just to love on people. Oh, but I'm shy and I'm this. Listen, go through a drive-thru and buy for the people behind you and give them a little card. We have these little cards we give out. That's all you got to do. They're not even going to see your face. But God's going to use that. God's going to use that. I will not worship God. I will not make a sacrifice for God that doesn't cost me something. Back to Genesis 22, verse 6 and 7. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. Remember, it's just him and Isaac. The other one stayed back there. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went together, and Isaac spoke up and said to Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now this tells me that Isaac is not a baby. First of all, he's communicating with his father. This also tells me that he is not a young child. You know what this does tell me? And this is huge. That Isaac knew how to sacrifice to God himself. He's going down the checklist. Listen, every time I go with dad, and this is huge for you guys, child dedication. Every time I go with dad, right, there's wood, there's fire, there's a sacrifice. Okay, I'm going with dad. There's fire There's wood, but there's no sacrifice, Isaac says. Dad, where's the sacrifice? Every time we come, we do the same thing. We sacrifice to God. Abraham instructed in Isaac, come on, instructed with him, this is how we worship God. Boy, we need to be doing that with young people. This is how we worship God. Listen, if you weren't here this week, and if you were, thank you so much for volunteering. We had a great opportunity just to pour into to the lives of young people. This is who God is. Jesus loves you. This is what Jesus has done for you. And then we go over and hit him with dodgeballs. It's awesome. And by the way, I am so sore. And it's funny. The guy in the back, Ray, who's in the back at our information counter today, he walked in like this morning. And I said, you all right? And he said, he played Friday night. He came Friday night. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm going to play dodgeball with the kids. And I see him running around there. And today he's kind of doing this. And he goes, I could barely walk. And I said, yeah, I know how you feel. We're not kids anymore. But I will say this. Listen, I will say this in all humility. We won. So that's all that matters. So it doesn't, yeah, oh no, okay. But we did win. So listen, Isaac knows the protocol, right? Today we would say it wasn't his first rodeo. He's made sacrifices with Abraham before, and he notices that there is no animal for the sacrifice. And notice what he says, verse 8. What a statement of faith this is. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Listen, by faith. This is total faith. All, and I put this in your notes, all that Abraham is responsible for is his obedience. That's all he's responsible for, is his own obedience. And somebody needs to understand that today. All that you're responsible for is just being obedient. God takes care of the rest. See, we want to get our hands in everything. We want to orchestrate everything. But really, what we need to do is just obey and leave the rest up to God. Just obey and leave the rest up to God. And that's what Abraham does. Verse 9. When he reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac. Here it is. Laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Do you see it? It's got the exclamation points after it. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son. And here it is again, your only son. Up to that point, Abraham was going to do exactly what God instructed him to do. A few things you need to know. First, it says, now I know that you fear God. So the voice from heaven says, now I know you fear God. Did God not know before? Of course God knew. I love what David Jeremiah says. He says this, if you could put it up. I think I have the quote. He says this, God knew that he was first in Abraham's life, but he wanted Abraham to know too. If that doesn't sum it up, I don't know what does. That's it. God already knew what Abraham was going to do, that he would put his son on the altar and he would go to sacrifice him. God already knew that. Abraham needed to know that, you know what? I'm all in with God. Are you all in with God? Like, are you all in with God? Or are you playing games? Are you like, yeah, you know, Sunday's good and then Monday, you know what I'm saying? Come on, you know the saying. Sunday saint, Monday ain't. Sunday you're on fire, Monday you retire. You know that one? Come on. That's how we live. Abraham is all in with God. He's all in. All in. And the second thing here, and this is what's really important, is that, and a lot of people miss this in the story. If you could just put it up, Brianna. God spoke. Like, we miss that in the story. Like, we're all about Abraham and sacrifice and his obedience. Listen. God spoke. A voice from heaven called out to Abraham. Some of you today, your situation, you need God to speak to it. No, I'm serious. I'm going to get a little preachy now. You ready? Some of you, you need a word from God for your situation, for your marriage, for your home, for your finances, for your employment, for all those things. You need God to speak to that situation. And listen, God will. God will. God spoke to the situation. And here's the amazing thing. And I think I put this in your notes. When God speaks, listen, there's a solution. God just doesn't leave it out there. God speaks to the situation. He waited till the last possible moment. Pastor, why did God wait so long? Why didn't God just say, hey, Abraham got to the mountain. That's good enough. You guys can just go home. Or Abraham built an altar. He didn't put his son on it yet, but he built the altar. And God said, that's enough. I know you're going to obey me. God waited till he bound his son and he put his son on the altar and he took the knife in his hand. And at that moment, God spoke. Why did God wait so long? Isn't that a great question? Why did God wait so long? Would you like to know the answer? Okay, two people are shaking their head. I'm not going to tell you then. The rest of you don't want to know, that's fine. We'll move on. Here's the reason. Listen. God wants to get as much growing and learning out of your life. He wants to squeeze as much as he can out of that situation. And at the right moment, God will speak. And everything will change. Everything changed for Abraham after that. Everything changed. That voice from heaven changed everything. And in your situation, can I just tell you, and you might not want to hear this, God will speak at the perfect moment. And here's the great thing. He is going to get as much growing and learning from you from that situation. That's what God's doing. God is growing us and maturing us, and he's teaching us. And at the moment when God says, okay, now is the moment, he comes in, he speaks to the situation, and it changes everything. And God provides a solution. Look at verse 13. Abraham looked up. Verse 13. Abraham looked up. And there in the thicket saw a ram caught by the horns. And he went over and he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Do you know what my prayer for you this week has been? You know, I don't know if you know this, but I do pray for you. Do you know that? And listen, I want you to know this. It's not, Lord, bless the people of Crossroads. I do my best, I know this is going to sound strange, to imagine myself here because I know where you guys sit. Right? And so I do my best in my mind to say, oh, yes, and for Cheryl, or for Bobby, and for Lenwood, and for Robert. And I go through in my mind, and I pray for you. Do you know what my prayer for you this week was? Do you want to know what it was? It was this. That God would speak to your situation, and he would provide a solution. That was my prayer. Like yesterday, even this morning again, God, would you speak into their situations and give the solution like you did with Abraham? As soon as God spoke, as soon as the voice from heaven spoke to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, it says Abraham looked up and there was a ram, perfect substitute, perfect sacrifice. God provided. God can do the same for you. Whatever your struggle is, whatever your problem is, whatever your addiction is, whatever your issue is, God can speak to that situation and bring a solution. That's how amazing and powerful God is. Look at verse 14 because we need to wrap this up. Verse 14, so Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And I'll explain that in just a minute. The Lord will provide. And to that day, it is said, on that mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, are you familiar with these words? Can you put them up? Are you familiar with these words? Jehovah Jireh. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah. That's what that phrase is. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, God provides. God provides. That's what Abraham called the mountain where he was going to sacrifice Isaac. He said, listen, we're going to call it, you know, it was known as Mount Moriah, which, by the way, is where Jerusalem ended up being. Just a little side note. This is 2,000 years before Jesus. Same area. The story mirrors Jesus. It's funny because Isaac, the son, carries the wood for the sacrifice. Sound familiar? Jesus carried his cross right around the same place. Pretty amazing. And yet God introduces the word love to us in this passage. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. A couple of observations. Listen, and then I'm going to pray. A couple of things, a couple of lessons that we can learn. They're in your notes. The first one is this. Listen, doing God's will takes obedience. Doing God's will takes obedience. That's what it takes. That's what this story is about with Abraham. Will you obey God or will you do what you want to do? That's really, when you boil it down, that's it. Will you surrender or will you live how you want to live? Secondly, following God's plans are not often understood. When you read the story, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Why would God promise Abraham a son and then tell him, hey, go and sacrifice that son? That makes no sense. And can I tell you this? After serving God for over 40 years, I know some of you are like, you look like you're in your 30s. Don't be fooled by the gray hair, okay? Listen, serving God for over 40 years, listen. So many times, God's plans make no sense. But he's God. And if you will do the first part, if you will live in obedience, you don't understand everything. You're not. And here's the reason. You're not God. But I will say this. God is behind the scenes, and he is orchestrating things in your life. And he, at the right moment, will speak into your situation, and he will bring a solution. He will bring a substitute. That's what God does. And that's what he did for Abraham. Last one is this. Listen, our response to all of this reveals who we really trust. Who will you trust? Who will you put your faith in? Will it be your bank account? Will it be your job? Will it be your marriage? Will it be relationships and friendships? What will it be? Will it be your personality? I'm a good person. People like me. That's fine. What do you trust? Or should I say, who do you trust? Because it reveals who you trust. Now, let me close with this. Listen, I don't want to harp on the whole love thing, but love is mentioned for the first time in the Bible in this particular story, and I know I kind of gave you a little bit of it already, but what's really important is this story mirrors something that happened 2,000 years after Abraham and 2,000 years ago from us, and that's the story of Jesus. This story mirrors. 3 days they went on a journey. Jesus was in the tomb 3 days, right? We know that. Isaac the son carried the wood. Jesus carried the wood. It just mirrors what Jesus Christ has done for us. But listen, God spared Abraham's son, but God didn't spare his own son. Almighty God didn't spare his own son. Abraham didn't have to live with the anguish of watching his son die. But God did. God watched as Jesus went to the cross and experienced unbelievable pain and suffering and ultimately death. For you and for me. I don't know about you, but I can't thank him enough. He spared Abraham's son, but he didn't spare his own son. God knew the pain of watching his son die so that you could experience grace and mercy. God knows what it's like to experience pain. As he watched Jesus die on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. This story about Abraham's obedience all points to Christ. All points to what Jesus did for us. And so let me leave you with this before we pray. Obedience matters. We said this earlier. If you want to get up tomorrow, maybe you had a bad day today, you had a bad week. Tomorrow, get up. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to live for him. Also, worship is a sacrifice. If you're going to live for God, It's going to cost you something. Be prepared. Are you willing to pay the price to follow God? Because there is a price. And then lastly, my prayer for you is that God would speak to your situation. Give you a solution. Because God has already done the ultimate solution. Just like there was a ram in the bushes, a perfect substitute for the sacrifice, Jesus was a perfect substitute. His life sacrificed on the cross for us. Would you bow your heads with me? I don't know where you stand with God today, but I want to take a minute and pray as a church. If you're far from God, or if you, maybe years ago you gave your life to Christ, maybe it's been a while since you've been in church, or maybe you've been kind of wishy-washy going back and forth and, you know, you're not willing to pay the cost or pay the price. But today you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I need to surrender my life to Christ. All that Jesus has done for me, I want to surrender my life to Christ. If that's you, nobody's looking around. Would you just slip up your hand for a moment? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you up. Thank you. I just want to pray with you. Thank you. Awesome. Can we pray together? Can we do this, church? Can you pray with me? Just say this. Just say this. Let's say, God in heaven, I need you. And I thank you that you sent Jesus to this earth to die in my place. And today, I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? A couple of things before we go. Just one is, if anybody needs prayer, I'm going to be at the piano. If you need prayer, help in obedience, or you're just going through a struggle and you need just an encouragement or even a hug or a prayer, myself and Brian and Moises, would you please just be at the piano with me? We're going to pray. Shirley, be around. Pastor Gwen isn't here. I'd love to pray with you just to encourage you. And I'm going to pray and just close this out in a minute. But gosh, I hope this word has impacted your life like it did me. There was so much in this. So this is such a rich passage of Scripture. My prayer is that you would just take something today and let it impact your life. Father, once again, we just bow and acknowledge your goodness and greatness in our lives. And Lord, I know there are people here today who are hurting. Lord, people who are far from you. Lord, use this story, use this life, the faith of Abraham, just to encourage us and challenge us. God, forgive us if we've gotten off track, if we've not been living an obedient life. God, forgive us today. And Lord, forgive us for not understanding that worship is sacrifice. Lord, we're willing to pay the price because you paid the price. And Lord, I'm praying now that you would speak into our situations, into our hearts, into our lives. Lord, you're the solution. We look to you. In Jesus' name, amen.